man. Happy Saturday. Sorry for the delay, but after a week hiatus, we are back. That's right. Baseball and Beats, episode 4. Episode 4. Yes, sir. Let's keep her moving here. So some exciting ideas came to me in a deep, deep slumber. Next week, we're going to introduce a call-in show. Yeah, that's right. You want to hear your sport take heard? You agree with me? You hate me? Let me hear it. I don't care. Send me a message on social media. That's at KCrabe35. That's on Twitter and Instagram. We'll set it up. But you know what? I think this will be a bit of fun here. As for this week, though, you know what? We still got some good content for you. Let's start it off with the way we know how to start it off best. That's right. It's a little bit of jabber about the Jays. Cue up the music.
Do it. He's in tune. Hey, good day. Welcome to the Great White North.
Yes, sir. Your Toronto Blue Jays are back in action. And guess what? Guess who's back out there? It's George Springer. Yes, sir. Still waiting on that first hit. Was a bit quiet in the first game, but it's great to see him back out there filling out that outfield. Once we get Teoscar Hernandez back, that outfield will be fully healthy. But I gotta say, Randall Grichuk has stepped up and been a pleasant surprise that we needed to fill in the gaps. This guy's been batting .288. He's got 4 home runs, 16 RBIs. Not to mention, he's a great glove in the field. I like seeing Grichuk in that lineup. I don't think he should lose a spot, even with Springer and Teoscar coming back soon. Sadly, though, as soon as we shed Springer from the IR, Ryu comes and takes his place. Now, I know Montoyo said it's not serious. He was walking around fine afters, but Ryu, he's still got tightness. Tightness in the glutes, apparently. Nothing worse than a bit of glute tightness. But yeah, hopefully, no longer than 10 days, and we'll see our ace, Hyunjin Ryu, back on the mound. Looking around the Jays lineup here, the infield defense has been spotty of late. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Bo. I'm looking at you, Biggio, and I'm looking at you, Panic. All these guys on the left side, it's been costing the Jays a little bit here. Our fielding percentage sits at about a 982. Now, that's 8 from the bottom in the MLB. That's not great. Now, listen, I want to give Bo Bichette every chance to succeed that he can over at shortstop. I feel like if you take that position away from him now, it's just going to strip his confidence going forward, and he's never going to be the shortstop that we want him to be. But right now he's young, and we got a chance to iron out some of these kinks. Ha, throwback to last show. I think third base is a bit of the bigger issue here. Maybe we see Lourdes Gurriel taking some time there. We saw him play a lot last season there. Hasn't really been too much of Lourdes over on third base, but you know what? He could be at least a short-term answer for some of these problems. Aside from the infield, though, it's been the pitching and, more specifically, the relief pitching that's been a surprise for me lately. Anthony Castro, he's been great in relief there. Not too bad for a waiver claim off Detroit. This guy's posting a 0.00 ERA. Yeah, that's right. No earned runs. Over 7 innings of relief this season. That's great for Castro. He's stepped up. He's filled the kind of hole that Merriweather and Romano left for a little while. And yeah, he's been solid. He's been real solid. Dolis, another one, who I'm eating my words on this a little bit, but he's actually become a solid closer. You might remember me last week saying keeping him far away from the closing spot. Well, I guess I'll just shut up then because he got, what, 3 saves? 2 saves? 2 saves and a hold. There it is. My bad. In the 2 weeks since I said that. So you're welcome, Dolis. I guess I got your hot streak going. After he got roughed up by Texas and New York early on, I thought I was going to close the book on Dolis pretty soon, but he's been great. He's only allowed 1 run since then in 9 outings. That's got his 2 saves in the hold. I'm very happy with Dolis. He's made me shut up. He's still got to clean up the walks a little bit, but he's looking a lot more confident out on the mound, especially until Mayweather gets healthy. He's who we got. He's our closer, so let's put a little bit of faith in him, shall we? As for Vlad Guerrero Jr., oh, the kid stays hot. He's still smoking the ball, isn't he? Last year, let's look a little bit of a comparison here, because I like comparing last year Vladdy to this year Vladdy. Last year, Vlad finished the season with 9 home runs, 33 ribbies, and he's batting .262 on the year with about a .462 slugging. See, that's not too bad. That's respectable numbers for a sophomore player. Now we take a look at this year. He's already got 7 home runs. He's got 19 ribbies, all while batting a more consistent .346 with a .667 slugging. Now, if we want to look really deep into the numbers, we want to look at on-base plus slugging. He's over 1,000. He's at 1,141. Compared to last year, he was only at 791. Vladdy's turn from last year to this has been phenomenal. He's become the player that we need him to be, and not to mention, the guy had a 3 home run game the other day. Had me jumping out of my seat. Couldn't believe that. It's night and day from where Vladdy was to where he is now. Great progress. We love to see it. Currently 3.5 back from the top seeded. Oh, the Red Sox. As of Friday, the Jays are opening up a 3-game set against Atlanta. Robbie Ray's taking the bump on Friday. Let's see another good one from Robbie Ray. He's been solid so far. Now listen, I know we missed last week. I'm a man of my word, so I want to give you guys a little bit of extra content this week. And in terms of extra content, we're going to take a look at award season. Now, I know what you're saying, Kyle. It's way too early to be looking at awards. But you know what? Fuck you, man. We're taking a peek. Why not? So we're going to take a look at the Cy Young, the MVP, Rookie of the Year, and the Manager of the Year today. And we're going to start it off with the pitchers here. Cue up the Oscars music, throw on your tuxedos, smoke them if you got them, because it's time for award season. That's right. Thank you. So, we're going to start off with the Cy Young, and we're going to start off in the AL. Now, this is a close race here, and I really thought about this one, because I really wanted to give it to Charles Rondon. Been great early on, had that, not perfect game, no-hitter, but and this is going to kill me, but I'm going to have to go with Gerrit Cole off the Yankees. Could have easily went to Rondon with this, but the one stat I saw tipped the scales in Gerrit Cole's favor. That's 50 strikeouts to 3 walks. That's unbelievable control. He's right now, he's at a 1.71 ERA. That's good enough for 5th in the AL, and I got a feeling that's going to keep going down as the season goes on. He'll start to distance himself as the season goes on. I think, this might be Gerrit Cole's year for the Cy Young. In the NL, no surprise here, I'm going with Jacob deGrom. Now, despite the 2-2 record, because the Mets are garbage, he's still got a crazy low 0.51 ERA, and that's with no offense to help him out. But Cy Young, maybe that ain't about offense. 59 Ks, 4 walks, 1 complete game shutout. The fastball is averaging at around 98.9. Guys throwing 99 every fastball? And they want people to catch up with it? No chance. Those are my two picks. We're going Gerrit Cole, we're going Jacob deGrom. That's our Cy Young. Let's keep her moving. Alright, back on track. We're going to go south of the border here. Take a little look at the Boston Bias. What do you got to say, Mark Wahlberg?
What the fuck happened to the clicker, you fucking cocksucker?
That's right. I don't know where the fuck the clicker is, but cruising at the top of the AL East, we've got the Boston Red Sox. Man, I'm going to start it off with a little bit of Raffy Devers appreciation hour. What a week for Devers. Kid's batting 412 this past week. He's absolutely smoking the ball. That's all over the plate. I gotta love Devers there. He's even cleaning up his defense over on third. You love to see that. In terms of some shoutouts, we got Garrett Richards, who I never thought I'd be saying his name in a shoutout, but the Richards comeback show is alive and well. 7 innings, 1 earned run, no walks, 10 Ks in his last start. Where the hell did that come from? This is coming from the guy who was throwing every other ball in the dirt his last outing. Then he comes out and does this. So yeah, love what I'm seeing from Richards in that last game. If he can keep that up, who knows? He might still be in the majors by the end of the year. Another shout out, the game following Richards, we saw Nick Pivetta match up against Jacob deGrom. That's my Cy Young pick if you just missed that. But he pitched a shutout gem against deGrom. That's enough to squeak out the 1-0 win, and he knew. He knew he had to be on the top of his game because the Red Sox, they aren't scoring too much off deGrom. Now, he pitched 5 innings, gave up no runs. I gotta hand it to Pivetta. He looked great out there. Another pitcher is really starting to shape up is Eduardo Rodriguez. Now he's back atop the Red Sox rotation. Boston left-hander, he struck out 8 Mariners in 6 innings to beat Seattle 5-3 on Sunday and remain unbeaten on the season. Manager Alex Cora, he had this to say, "That's what aces do. They put their team on their back and they carry us to a W." Now if that ain't confidence, I don't know what is. Now Rodriguez, he's lasted at least 5 innings and 32 straight starts. Holy fuck, 32 straight starts, that's unbelievable, and that's dating back to May of 2019. Now the Red Sox, they've won their last 8 outings when he's been on the bump, and that brings the team to 49-12 in his starts since the beginning of the 2018 season. Bottom line, the Red Sox offense delivers when Eduardo Rodriguez is on the bump. It just happens. I mean, 49-12, that's unbelievable. Shortstop Xander Bogaerts has quietly been having a good year as well. Now he hasn't got the attention that Devers and Martinez got early on, especially during that hot streak, but Bogey's batting 333. He's tied for the team lead. He's such a calculated hitter. He can go opposite field. He can pull the ball. Bogaerts, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it quietly, too, because you know what? Pitchers, they just aren't going to expect it. Speaking of JD Martinez, though, he's been cooling off of late. He's only batting 143 over his last 7 days, but he's still batting 333. That's tied with Xander. He's just got to get back to what he was doing during that early season success. I think he's overthinking it right now. Just get back to the basics, man. Get back to the video room if you gotta. Oh, baby, this is exciting. Bobby Dalbec finally went yard, and the floodgates, they're open, baby. Oh, yeah. After the slow start, he's got the average up to 222. You gotta love what Bob's doing now. And that bomb? Oh, here, let me play the call for you. You're gonna love this.
Boy, he is due to hit a bomb. He just is. Swing, a high fly ball into center, driving back Pilar all the way to the wall, leaping. He can't get it, and there's number one.
Bobby Bombs. Oh, Bobby the Heartbreak Kid, he's doing well. The Sox, they're back in action Saturday against the Rangers, and that's where we should see E-Rod take the mound. So expect another Red Sox win if you take it from me. Hey, we're done another segment, and it's time for some more awards. Let's go to the Rookie of the Year this time. Start up the Oscar music. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to go to the AL first. And for the AL, it's no question for me right now. We're looking at a man called the Yerminator. That's right, Yermin Mercedes. He's been electric. The kid started off his career 8-for-8. He's now batting .423. He's got 5 HRs and 16 RBIs with a 1.144 OPS. There's no doubt in my mind. Give it to Yermin. He deserves it, man. In the NL, I got a bit of a sleeper pick, but you know what? I think it's justified. I got Trevor Rogers here. This is a pitcher. 3-1 early record for the Marlins right now. He's got a 1.29 ERA. Trevor Rogers, he's got 38 Ks, 10 walks. I gotta give it to Rogers early on. For a rookie, this guy has been dealing. Another guy who almost squeaked out Rogers, I had to give it to Ian Anderson. He's another promising pitching prospect who's been dealing for ATL right now. Now, Anderson, he's sitting at about a 2.48 ERA. That's about a buck north of Rogers. But you know what? Anderson might turn it around, and I want to see how Rogers pans out, especially on the Marlins in that very tough NL East. And there we have it. Rookie of the Year, I'm going Rogers, and I'm going Mercedes. Those are my two picks. Back to the scheduled programming here, and now... Oh, baby, it's one of my favorite parts of the show here. It's time to fire up the cars here and maybe crack a roadie or two. It's time for road tripping around the league. Cue up the theme.
You kids can't keep your heads to yourself. I'm going to turn this car around and there'll be no Cape Canaveral for anybody. That's it. Back to Winnipeg.
That's right, road tripping around the league. This is where we take a look around the league at different storylines that are starting to emerge, and we can either choose to pump the brakes and stop and talk, or we're going to mash that gas. All right, let's start it off in New York here, and not with the Yankees, but with the Mets. We're talking Francisco Lindor here. Will Lindor turn it around after the slow start? And Mets fans, are you guys justified for calling him out right now? Listen, the New York media market can get to anybody. Mr. Smile, he's gonna figure it out. Right now in 2021, the guy's only batting .203, which ain't terrible. It's pretty bad for Lindor, but it ain't terrible. But listen, it's still so early in the season there. New York fans are so quick to jump the gun. I gotta keep it moving here. No merit in this one. Keep it moving. Mash that gas. Story number two here, we're looking over in Detroit. So let me set the scene here. So we've got a game between the White Sox and the Tigers on Tuesday, and we got second baseman Nick Madrigal coming up to Miggy, who's on second base at the time, and he starts suggesting that Miguel Cabrera is tipping pitches over at second base for stealing signs? Miguel Cabrera? Get that shit out of here. Miggy's a legend. He doesn't need stuff like this. Look at the Tigers' record over the past couple years. You think they've been cheating? If they are, they're not. They're not good at it. Just keep it moving. That's stupid. All right, now we're going to look over in Oakland here. Are the A's legit? Let's pump the brakes here. Let's talk a little bit. This is another case of the Oakland A's making the most of their money. They got that win streak going up all the way to 13, and that's without Matt Chapman heating up. This guy's still batting below 200, and he's a main catalyst for their offense. So, where's the offense coming from? You got Matt Olson, you got Jed Lowry, you got my boy Mitchie Moreland. That's some meat and potatoes. Oh yeah. And you got a solid bullpen mixed up of Yosmero Petit, Lou Trevino, Jake Diekman, and they're all backing up the ace Sean Manaea over in Oakland. Listen, they don't have these big name players, but they got a solid staff through and through. But I think this team needs everything to go right if they want to contend in the postseason. They got a lot of teams with higher ceilings and higher caliber rosters. It's going to be tough for them. But the A's are no strangers to proving people wrong. I think they got a good shot and a good team here. Final stop here on the road trip. We're going to go all the way down to the Pioneer League. Now, you never heard of the Pioneer League? Well, me neither until Tuesday. But they decided they're going to implement a home run derby as a replacement for extra innings during the 2021 season. Pump the brakes here. So here, let me just detail this a little bit. So you're going to have your best slugger come up. It's going to be a knockout rule for these games that are tied after 9 innings. So you nominate a batter, they get 5 pitches. The game's determined by the most home runs hit in that stretch. Now, if it still ends in a tie, you bring up another batter, you do it all again. this sounds awesome. You know what? Like, I can tell there's many, many problems with this idea. But listen, this is unbelievable. Finishing a game in an electric fashion, you get to see some bombs from the best hitters on each team. But here's the problem. Didn't Rob Manfred want less home runs? Didn't he just implement a ball that's supposedly supposed to fly less and get less home runs? It's unfair to small ball teams that win in other ways than the home run. But it's a home run derby. Who's going to say no to that? That's awesome. I got to give it to that. That's a really cool idea. Well, will you look at that? Road trip's over. We're back home. Another new segment? That means it's time for another award show. You know the music. Let's play it. This time, we're taking a look at the Manager of the Year Award. That's right, this is always a little bit of a dicey one because you never know who's going to make a run at it. But in the AL, I got to give it to Mike Matheny, manager of the KC Royals. Now, he's got a hot start from a roster that we weren't thinking too much going into this season. And Matheny, he's got experience. He's finding talent from deep in this roster and pushing them to the top of the division. Got to give it to Matheny early on. He's done a great job with those guys. In the NL, we're taking a look at Gabe Kapler off the San Francisco Giants. Now, similar to Matheny, this is another case of an overperforming roster in a very, very tough division. They're currently ahead of the Dodgers and the Padres and sitting at a 16-9 record. They're getting great outings for pitchers like Andrew DeSchiafliani and seeing the returns of Alex Wood and Cueto. And their offense has been a surprise. I didn't expect too much of them going into the season, but look at them go. 19-6, give it to Gabe. And there we have it. We got Matheny, we got Kapler now. Only one award left, and that's the MVP, and that's coming up next after our next segment here, and oh, she's a good one. That's right, we got who's hot, who's not. Cue it up. Alright, so I know it's been a couple weeks since we last visited Who's Hot in the AL East, but let's see who's still performing. We're going to start at the bottom, you know, it's tradition, and because I love saying that the Yankees are at the bottom for as long as I can. Now, New York, they're sitting at 11-14, and I was going to give it to Chapman for being the catalyst for that, but I hate Chapman. Why would I make myself miserable for that? Instead, I'm going to give it to 1A, which is Giancarlo Stanton. Over the last 2 weeks, he's got 5 bombs, and he's batting .313 with a .646 slugging, and an OPS that's over 1,000. He's picking up after this cold start that had a lot of people doubting him, had a lot of people booing him. But you know what? Gotta hand it to Giancarlo. He's really turned it around. But there's always a bit of cold when it comes with a bit of hot. And when it's cold, it's Gary fucking Sanchez. He's batting 083 in the past 2 weeks. Oh, Gary, he cooled down way too fast. He's got no home runs, 8 Ks, and 24 ABs. It's got to be Gary for the cold pick. Sorry about that, Gary. Moving up, we got Baltimore sitting at 4th in the division at 11-14 as well. Hot player, oh, I love this one. It's Trey Mancini. How can you not love this guy? He's making the triumphant comeback from beating cancer. Mancini's smacking the ball around and making up for lost time. Now, Mancini, he's batting .342 with 2 bombs and 7 ribbies in the past couple weeks. Mancini's helping keeping the O's from sinking to the very bottom of the AL East. Gotta hand it to him. He's doing a great job. And my cold pick, this one kind of hurts, but it's Ryan Mountcastle. Now, geez, I might have been wrong about this kid. Now, you might remember back in week 1, I predicted he would be a breakout contender, but alas, he is not. In the last couple weeks, he's batting a measly .135 with 1 RBI, no home runs, and all while tallying 11 more strikeouts. I thought he was going to clean up the strikeouts. Apparently, he got worse at the strikeouts. He's striking out way too much. It's got to be Ryan for the ice cold pick. Third place in the division, we got our Toronto Blue Jays. Oh yeah, and at 11-12, we're looking to make our run. Hot pick? It's got to be Anthony Castro, a waiver wire pickup with 5 outings in the last 2 weeks, and he's been untouched all season. He picked up a W and a save in the process, and I got a hand to the kid. He's stepped up in the absence of a lot of relief pitching in this roster, and he's delivering. Good on him. Cold pick, it's a repeat offender, and it's Danny Jansen again. Not again, man. Jansen still can't touch the ball. He's 0-19 in his last 2 weeks. Let me say that again. He's 0-19 in his last 2 weeks. He's got 3 Ks, but he just seems to roll on top of every ball that he comes in contact with. You might have to look somewhere else for some catching depth, because you got Captain Kirk just sitting there, and oh, Captain Kirk's a beauty. In second in the division, we've got the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Yes, sir, sitting at 13-13. Catalyst for their run, it's been Joey Wendell. He's batting .341 in the past 2 weeks, and Wendell, he's keeping the Rays offense buzzing. He's got 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. Joey, take a victory lap, kid. You're this week's hot player of the week. cold. We're looking at Mike Barrasso. He's the second baseman off the Rays, and he's not looking so good. He's batting 118 over the past couple weeks with 13 Ks. Oh, my God. Ugly stretch for Barrasso with only 4 hits and 34 ABs. Trust Barrasso, and rely on. Take a bow, Doogie. This is all yours.
Sitting at the summit, honorable mention is going to have to go 16-9.
And the hot player is going to have to be Alex Verdugo. Now, he's been a stud defensively. At the plate, too, he's been mashing the ball in the past 2 weeks. A 368 average with a 533 slugging and remaining consistent. Couldn't take this away from Verdugo. He's been too good lately. Cold pick. Oh, geez. It's Franchi Cordero. Frankie? Franchi? One of the two. Yikes. Besides that, the clock's ticking on old Franchi. He's batting 056 in the past 2 weeks. He looks just lost up there. His defense is nothing special over in left either. You gotta keep an eye on young prospect Jared Duran. Now, he might be called up soon to fill in the gap that Frankie's left behind, but as of right now, he doesn't have the time to figure out his swing. He's got to get it together quick. And that just about does it on who's hot, who's not. And that means it's time for our biggest, the bestest award of the year. And it's the MVP. Oscars music. Let's go. Oh, thank you, thank you. It's the moment we've all been waiting for here. And, you probably could have guessed this one, but our AL MVP pick for early on, it's got to be Mikey Trout. Oh, yes, sir. Mike Trout, man. Who else could it be? He's only trailing Yerwin Mercedes in average, and he's hit batting a 420, nice, in 69 ABs, nicer. And it looks like he's got 6 home runs and 14 RBIs. Now, Mike Trout, this guy's making a case every single year for MVP, but this year it'd just be a snub if he didn't get it. The guy's OPS is through the roof at 1,306. I can rhyme off stats all day to justify this, but you all know that Mike Trout's the best in the AL. Give him the damn MVP. Now, in the NL. See, this one's a little dicey because I'm not sure if he's going to pull it off or not. Okay, my original pick was going to be Jacob DeGrom. I mean, I shouldn't have to justify it, but I will anyway, because I thought DeGrom was just going to be that good. He's going to get the Cy Young and the MVP. Just unbelievable season. Anyways, I decided to change it up, and I went with Ronald Acuna. Now, Acuna off the Braves, this guy's been batting 341. Now, here's the kicker. Guy's leading the league in home runs. He's got 8 bombs. You look at everyone else in the NL, no one's even coming close to that home run total while still keeping the average up around 341. I think Acuna, if he can keep this up over a season, guy's going to be a monster. And if he keeps up these percentages, man, give him the MVP because he's that good. But if he falls off, Jacob DeGrom's just waiting there and he's sucking at that MVP teat. So yeah, we're looking at a tight race in the NL, and the AL should be a wash unless, knock on wood, Mike Trout comes up with an injury. But so far, so good. Trout, he's just raking, as per usual. We just about hit the end here, but oh, not so fast. Not so fast. You're about to leave here without cash in your pocket? That ain't how it works here. It's time for the Money Minute. Cue up the theme. If you don't know how it works now, we're going to put a minute up on the clock, and we got a list of about 10 possible bets here and breakout performers of the week. I'll give you the gist, and we'll try to make you some of that sweet cash. Oh, yeah. First off, we're going to settle our bets again, as we always do. How do we do, lads? Well, we're going to start off with Glass now. He was electric on Saturday on the 17th against New York. He got the under for runs against, and the Rays got the dub, so that's a 2-0 start for us. Dodgers and Padres last Saturday, we picked the under for total runs, and there was only 2 scored in this pitching duel. That's 3-0. The Stros, they beat the Mariners, and it was a good outing for Greinke, too. That's 4-0. Not a bad start, but here's where it kind of turns. Kind of for the worst. So, turns out Mad Bum and Strasburg still got it. Ah, my bad. I guessed that this was going to be a high-scoring affair, and that's now it's 4-1. Now, this is what I get for betting on Garrett Cole and the Yankees. The Rays won this one 6-3, and the Cole, he gave up a couple runs. That's 2 losses, and I'm 4-3 now. Now Brandon Nimmo cools off. I might have jumped the gun on this kid. That's 4-4. And Christian Arroyo, he was hot until he injured his hand. But I'm still going to take this one, you know what? Because he was still hot. And that's going to make us 5-4 on the week. I guess I forgot the 10th because, you know, maybe I was kind of high or something. I don't know. Anyways, that brings our 2-week total up to 12. 6. And 1 no contest. That's not too shabby, you know what? You're winning money 12 out of 19 times. Fuck, that's okay. Let's try to bump that average up a little bit, though. Let's put a minute up on the clock. And are we ready? And let's go. All right, on the Saturday slate, let's start it off real risky. I think Patrick Corbin, he shakes off the rust. He gets his first W against the Marlins. Bet the Nationals. All right, Lance Lynn, he should dominate against McKenzie and the Indians. Bet the White Sox, baby. Take the under for runs against Big Lance, too. What usually happens with E-Rod takes the round for the Red Sox? Yeah, they score a ton, man. Come on, pick the Sox on Saturday. Giants and Padres, they're fixing to be a pitching duel with the Scheffliani and Snellzilla pacing off. Might as well take the under for total runs scored on this one. Now, what's the baby say? Let's go to Sunday. What's the change in the guard? We got rookie sensation Tyler Rogers. He's facing off against Max Scherzer on Sunday. I'd take the Wiley vet to win this one. Bet the Nationals against the Marlins again. Wainwright, he might be 0-3, but against the budget Pirates, I think he takes the win on this one. Bet the Cards, baby. The Jays, they're going to have their hands full with Ian Anderson Sunday. I got to give this one to the Braves. I'm sorry, Jays fans. A couple players to finish it off for you. Jesus Aguilar, he's been mashing the ball lately. I say the Brewers slugger keeps it up for at least one more week. And with George Springer finally coming off the IL, look for him to heat up as the week goes on. A final deep breath. It looks like we're going to wrap up the show here. As always, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Baseball and Beats early award season. Oh, yeah. Now, remember, next week we got our call-in show coming in, so hit me up on social media. That's at KCrape35 on Instagram and Twitter. Send me a message and we'll try to hook up a call and get you on the show next week. Yes, sir. You don't like my topics? You like my topics? Well, either way, let me hear it. I don't care. Remember to always go to YouTube after the show and check out this week's drum cover. That's Queens of the Stone Age, A Song for the Dead. Shout out my brother Joe for showing me this one. What a heater, by the way. Drum cover's just as fun too, so might as well check that out. That's again YouTube, Baseball and Beats, or follow the link tree that you got to find this one. And as always, special thanks to our production team for making this show happen, and for your host, Kyle Crabe. Thanks again. I'll see y'all next Saturday morning. Take her easy.